You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. I know it's Wednesday. You got to get over the hump, and you will. So I hope we get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, couldn't do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, you'll get it done anyway. That's right. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you. We love you. We honor you. We revere you. We respect you. Because you don't procrastinate. You get it done. And you do it safely. You wear your mask. You keep your distance. You keep them hands clean. And you do what is right for our people. Because you believe in independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. You get it done. Other programming. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you will see podcast. Click on that, and you'll see the drop down, and you'll see the words African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. We appreciate him. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. From 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6 p.m. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 to 9 or from 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And when you go online and look at all those products that are produced by us, also remember they are seeking donations to help establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, which of course will follow by a supermarket in your area. We need to come together. We need to pull our resources. We need to do this. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba.
is doing outstanding, taking our brothers and sisters to the motherland for many years. Probably now, I think over 400. Wow. And over this many years, Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Or give the brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. The upcoming trip is to Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th, and then followed by a trip in May 24th to June 4th, to Ghana, and then in November 18th through the 29th, to Tanzania. All those trips, the cost is $3,700 per person. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Renoko Rashidi, my guest will be on Friday with Brother Renoko Rashidi. And, of course, Renoko took his trip off, and we'll talk about that and other things that he's doing. Also, too, he has a a one-on-one with sister from Haiti. You know, my good sister from Haiti, he has a one-on-one with her coming up. I think it's in February, Bayina Bello, Dr. Bayina Bello. So I'll get more, and we'll talk about that Friday, of course. So listen for Friday, Brother Dr. Renoko Rashidi will be my guest. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. I can't say enough about how important that is. How important education is for us, designed by us, implemented by us, taught by us. The curriculum is ours. I can't express how serious that is for the future of African people. And it must be done at the very rudimentary or the very beginnings of the educational process. I can't express how important that is. But of course, go to HabashahIncorporated.org. Look at the great work that they're doing, the great projects that they have going on. The Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Urban Green Jobs, the Golden Growers, all the things that Habashah does. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group, LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, of course, they are dealing in the four areas that are most vitally important to human development, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter, the basics that we need. And of course, they have over 12 projects actively happening right now on the continent, in six countries on the continent, and they employ over 170 people, and they have over 260 members, and you should be a member as well. You should be a member as well. Go to theledgegroup.com and check out the website and all the other information that you need. Theledgegroup.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, they're still open for a couple of days in the weekend on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located on Ralph David Abernathy. And check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia has moved. She's still in the Greenbrier Mall, but she's in a bigger location right on the main thoroughfare of Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, all kinds, and probably will expand to even more. Now she has a bigger space. So check out the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote, of course, is the Black Doc. Oh, also, too, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have books. They have everything. They got furniture. They got figurines. They got the Kwanzaa kits. They got the red, black, and green shoes. They got clothing. So check out the green. Check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. The Black Doc Cultural Center and Bookstore, my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu. He's also now has a coffee bar in the Black Doc. located on Main Street in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow night, that Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. The number to call is 929. And you can call this number just to listen if you don't want to go online. You can call this number to listen and to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabrielia is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And you can see for yourself by going online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Aiti. And of course, Haiti is how you pronounce Haiti. Ain't Haiti, it's Haiti. Akaban Institute. Brothers and sisters, I can't say enough. I just mentioned the fact of how important education is and what the Barutis have been doing for many years. It's vitally important and necessary, and educational processes that help our young people become who they must be and who we need them to be, we must support. And so please support Akaban Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Oh, boy. Okay. I just got a little ding there about something. Let me see if I can turn this off. Okay. All right. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That is for those people who are much like me who send it in, but also now I use PayPal and Cash App. And so if you want to use the Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, when you can make an ongoing monthly contribution to help Akaban Institute out. Also, to the books, and as you know, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. Go to AkabanHouse.com, AkabanHouse.com, and a number array of great mind-changing, reaffirming books that you can understand how important it is that we need that. On February Saturday, February 6th, Inia Baruti, she will have her quarterly womanhood discussion, African womanhood discussion. And the topic is When a Woman Heals. That is Saturday, February 6th, from 4 to 6 p.m., from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Donation is $10 for the adults and $5 for teens. And is the sister quarterly circle. So please register by the following. Make your donation, your $10 for adults and five teens. And you can use the PayPal, the Cash App. The Cash App, once again, is dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Included in the information is quarterly sister circle, your name, and the email address that you want the information sent to for streaming. As well, on that same day in the afternoon from 12 to 3, the Rights Fundamental, developing an effective rites of passage program. This is Baba Baruti, Walimu, okay, Bomani Baruti. Questions answered to follow. It's going to be, once again, Saturday, February 6th from 12 noon to 3. And donations, of course, this donation is $20. $20 for warriors in training. $10 for our young adults. And, of course, you can use PayPal or Cash App. The PayPal is yahbaruti@yahoo.com. The PayPal is yahbaruti@yahoo.com. The Cash App is dollar sign yahbaruti. M. Baruti. Included, of course, is the information, the quarterly men's gathering, your name, and the email address that you want the information sent to so you can get the link. The N.Y. Sasem Volume 2, which I'll read in a moment, is available. Go to AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com. And, of course, the 13th Annual Health Science Fair Exchange, which will be virtual, Science for Survival. That'll be Friday, the day before the Baruti's programs that are virtual. And this will be virtual as well. It'll be Friday, February 5th, from 1 to 3, the Zoom. If you have Zoom, of course, you all should have Zoom on your phone or tablets and on your computer. Zoom. The information is 807-211-2759. That's 807-211-2759. And the passcode is PEARL, P-E-A-R-L, P-E-A-R-L. And that'll get you in. If you need additional information, there's a number here. It's 404-344-2777. 404-344-2777. I mean, brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes, you know, you just... Because it's held on a Friday and a Saturday. And on Friday, they do the presentations at the West End Mall over on Ralph David Abernathy. And then on Saturday, they do the presentations at the Greenbrier Mall. But it is phenomenal. It is beautiful. Our young people putting these displays, the board, the information is just fantastic. So this is definitely worth it. So if you can have the time between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Friday, February 5th. Please check it out. The Inye Sasem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I always tell you about how sometimes I don't read the Inye Sasem and then I develop a topic and then somehow, because of the spirit of our ancestors, there's information in the Inye Sasem dealing with the topic, and it's just fantastic. Just fantastic. I tell you. January 19th. We believe that our ancestors have laid an excellent foundation for what love is. The best word that exemplifies love for them was service. We believe that dutiful service is one of the greatest expressions of love. Selfless service is much more correct idea of love than selfish expectations that pacify our personal insecurities. Yimbasa. Our ancestors' intimacy serves as a perfect model for our imperfect complementarity relationships. We worked for them. What worked for them will work for us because they are us and we are them. Brothers and sisters, we are our ancestors. In following their well-placed footsteps, compliments should evidence mutual trust. Let me say this again. Following their well-placed footsteps, compliments should evidence mutual trust, cultural and political alignment, belief in work with divisions based on skills, abilities, and interests, repeated honest understanding, forgiveness, heartfelt empathy and sympathy for each other, meaningful, regular communications, agreement on and practice of sexual morality, a family-child priority, fearless defense of each other and community, a willingness to give and receive constructive criticism, and last but not least, mental, emotional, and physical fidelity. None of these things are unreasonable for nation builders who prize complementarity. Complementarity works because we work at it. We work at it. Affirm, I define love in selfless, service-centered terms. Affirm, I define love in selfless, service-centered terms. January 20th. Neutralization is a silent art. Bilongo. There is great importance in delivering the righteous word. Lies must
continuously be revealed in a reality that glorifies deceit in order to control and confuse. This corrective work is imperative, and our truth must be explained as much as necessary and made us as functional as possible, lest we accelerate our regressions into racial, cultural, and national oblivion. However, because of this self-defeating distraction it incurs, the longer we become absorbed in running our mouths, pretending that this is just some debate and that arguing unaccompanied by effective action will somehow solve our issues, the greater our enemy's gains will be against us. It is important to realize that distraction and the waste of time and resources are two of Urugu's least recognized but progressively most effective long-term strategies against us. While certainly we are responsible for the use of these energies and things at our disposal, many of us are completely unaware that we do not think for ourselves and in our best interest in expanding them. Those of us who say that we do this, those of us who say that we do this to ourselves do not understand the nature and tenacity of the menticide instilled thought, our Eurocentric socialization. Let me repeat that, because I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, and I have done this publicly with no disrespect, and I say that. I hate when some of us will say, we are our worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies. Check a mother who says that. We are not our own worst enemies. We are not an enemy to each other. There is an enemy that we have that is proven to be an enemy. But because we do things to ourselves without the knowledge that we say we are our own worst enemy. No, we are not. Well, certainly we are responsible for the use of these energies and things at our disposal. Many of us completely unaware that we do not think for ourselves. We do not think for ourselves and in our best interest in expanding. And those of us who say that we do this to ourselves and do not understand the nature and tenacity of the menticide instilled through our Eurocentric socialization. Warriors, beware of the battle which will rise within. You decide to stop wasting your time, energy, and resources on material frivolities and intellectual as well as emotional distractions. Know that this fight will not be easy because you will be warring against all that they have taught you and everyone you know. That's deep. You will be warring against all that you have been indoctrinated in, and many of us and family members and people that you have known, because of their indoctrination. Operate on the principle that nothing should be wasted or anything that does not work toward the liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty of African people. Operate on the principle that nothing should be wasted on anything that does not work toward the liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty of African people. Affirm, I silently neutralize our enemies. Affirm, I silently neutralize our enemies. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Now you know why I love the Inye Sesem. I love reading those to our people every morning to make sure that our minds are right, because we are at war for the minds of our people. It is the African mind. So I might as well read something I haven't read in a while, in a few weeks. And of course, you know, it's always important to reiterate. And I know somebody says, man, Brother Oshie, you know, some of you over and over again, it's redundant, it's repetitive, it's this, it's that. No, brothers and sisters, it is what is called positive reinforcement. I want us to know it, feel it, experience it, but more importantly, act on it. Kwame Nkrumah said this at his speech. You know Kwame Nkrumah, the first country to gain
separation or independence from the European is Ghana in 1957. He said this in 1961 in the speech of freedom. Because even in 1957, he understood at when Ghana was established that it wasn't about Ghana. It's not about Ghana. It's not about Nigeria. It's not about Botswana. It's not about, it's about Africa and African independence, African self-determination, African liberation, and African sovereignty. One Africa. One Africa. I strongly believe and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Yeah, that was that one. Then he said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Man. Prophetic. Prophetic and pathetic. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. Once again, brother, it's the mind. It's the mind. We are trapped in this madness because we have been, it's the mind. They have a vice grip. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so that we can visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which European leads us is genocide. Yeah, I got to read that every so often. Sometimes I try to read once a week, but believe me, I would not go too long without making sure that we hear that. But more importantly, I want us to understand it. I want us to internalize it. I want us to act on it. I want us to understand it and believe it and we act on it. And so that when you see other brothers and sisters in the street and wherever you see them, you give them greetings. You be the example. And even though when you see some of us who are so sad and pathetic, and whatever you could do to try, maybe try. If not, as the saying goes, shake your head and keep on moving. But there are people. There are children. There are adults. They are our elders and ancestors. They are us. We are them. Today, of course, is the inauguration. That's right. The inauguration. Of course, the inauguration is happening right now as I speak. You know. And so, You know what's funny about the inauguration, in all the pomp and circumstance, and of course Donald J. Trump dissed all of that. He had some prepared statements and gave it to the press because the press is all tripped out about, well, is he going to acknowledge? Is he going to even say the name of Joe Biden? Will he say the name of Kamala Harris? Hell no. No, he didn't. And he wasn't going to. He was under so much pressure after the
the insurrection 2 weeks ago today, that he had to say something, from what I understand, for those who report the news. You know, I don't know about you, dear brothers and sisters, but I watch the news. Of course I do. But how do I watch it? Some might argue with a jaundiced eye. I watch it from our perspective, and I just take it in as it is. And I figure what is best for us consistently, you know. I watch CBS News in the morning because I got tired of ABC and all them steals and deals and Disney stuff. I wanted some, give me some more information, man. I'm tired of that fluff shit. And then NBC, I don't know what's up with them cats. So I watch CBS, and it's okay, but I'm tired of Gayle King. Damn. She just, woof. She played in the Aunt Jemima for real, dude. So, but anyway, watching it today, because they have some good reporters that I like. And, of course, I like, you know, some of the sisters that they have. You know, they got some nice sisters. Gayle King, notwithstanding. Nah, Gayle King, it's all right. But anyway, you know, some of the stuff that they talk about, you know, I want to play something. I want to play something that that I want you to hear. It's a Caucasian. He has done a number of videos. You know, you see his face and he just talks and you see he has subtitles down there. And a lot of the information is thought, is just thought into it and it's provoking, you know. And, but this is the latest one. And this is interesting. And this is something I think that, you know, it's a way, what is it, about 10 minutes. And something that we can definitely talk about as we talk about the inauguration. And now, you know, in fact, the title of this day was Biden Harris. Now what? So what? I should have said so what, you know, but this is deep. Here you go. We'll play this. And then we'll come back and have a discussion and do what we do on African Perspectives. You know how we do. It's always about informing and educating our people.
This is a wake up call for Republicans. America elected Joe Biden by over 7 million votes, and you're confused because you didn't see us flock to his rallies and cheer his smackdowns like we were at a pro wrestling event during a global pandemic. We don't wear matching hats or have no more malarkey flags waving from the backs of our trucks. Do you know why? Because Biden is not our tribal warlord. We believe the job of a U.S. president is to represent more than one interest group. That's why 81 million of us turned out. To stop a narcissistic personality cult that embodies all seven of the deadly sins, most of all pride, which you've taken to levels of blasphemy, claiming your political leaders are handpicked by Jesus Christ. This country is called the United States, and we have multiple converging crises that need adult supervision, but we are being distracted trying to get control over a critical mass of you who no longer believe in reality, who've been hypnotized to fear a Joe Biden presidency whenever you hear the trigger words, radical socialist. Never mind that Biden is backed by America's billionaires whose existence depend on corporate capitalism, so your cognitive dissonance is staggering, but understandable, because the most sophisticated mass media tools ever created have eviscerated your powers of discernment, and there's a gold rush on slinging alternative facts, making millions for opportunists who've taken you for quite a ride. But you need to wake up now and start the deprogramming. The election was not stolen. All that proof you kept sharing about suitcases and duffel bags of discarded ballots, it's all been debunked. All the affidavits claiming widespread fraud have been thrown out. Over 60 lawsuits contesting the election in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Republican states. Many of the cases overseen by Republican and Trump-appointed judges. 61 cases tossed out. Trump's hack attorneys are being sued or are under threat of disbarment. That's consistent with the countless criminal prosecutions of many former Trump associates. But the PR stunt worked on the tens of millions of Americans primed for mass hysteria. You succumbed to Salem witch trial levels of mental lapse, believing our elections were stolen based on spectral evidence. Dreams about Krakens, which are make-believe. It's time to wake up now. Black Lives Matter is not a terrorist organization any more than Martin Luther King Jr. was a terrorist, or Gandhi, or Nelson Mandela. Peaceful protests and strikes and boycotts, that's how a society creates change without violence. Everybody reasonable knows that violence and looting and murder are wrong and counterproductive to a peaceful society. That's why everybody reasonable condemns militarized cops executing citizens over cigarettes, cell phones, driving, jogging, walking, sleeping, resisting execution. That's what Black Lives Matter has been protesting. This isn't a partisan issue. It's the largest civil rights movement in the history of the nation. You need to wake up now. If you join Black Lives Matter, then all lives will matter. If it helps you understand it better, shut your eyes, say to yourself, my life matters, and Black Lives Matter. If we unite, there's hope. We can end the savage practice of imprisoning millions of people for the crime of being black or brown or poor. Atoning for and correcting the mistakes of our ancestors does not mean the next logical step is white genocide. Unless you think the legitimate purpose of the criminal justice system is to protect white supremacy like it has up until this moment, if that's your underlying premise, you're a racist. That's why you wave a Confederate flag. You just doxed yourself and you need conversion therapy. Time to wake up. There's no national Antifa network pretending to be fascist Trump supporters who want civil war. Antifa are anti-fascists who only exist right now because there are fascist Trump supporters threatening civil war. Inspired by the official Republican platform, which doesn't have anything in it, other than clinical paranoia. Re-educating you to believe there's a conspiracy to seize your guns and gender identity at the same time, so you're so disoriented you can't defend yourself against a mass immigrant invasion threatening your livelihood. Come on. The real danger came from putting a recklessly uneducated man with a personality disorder in the White House, who spent his one catastrophic term branding America's democratic cities enemies of the country, while taking credit for economic growth rates he inherited from a Democrat. He and his Republican Senate, under the smokescreen of your disassociation from reality and the brand name Drain the Swamp, filled the cabinet with profiteers like themselves. Billionaires made $1 trillion while they gutted our State Department, our FBI, our CIA, our DHS, our post office. Whatever Trump touched, he wrecked. They attacked our U.S. education system. They tore down the minimal regulations that we have protecting America's water and air. They turned our already abysmal borders into a human rights crisis. They smeared America's top scientists and doctors, our healthcare system. They attacked our entire U.S. media. Their willful incompetence has been so destructive. The USA is the epicenter of the worst pandemic in 100 years. Hundreds of thousands of us are dead. Millions are hungry and struggling to survive. And their final act was a massive campaign to try to sabotage the bedrock upon which we stand, American democracy itself. This is on you, the Republican Party. The majority of white America elected a man whose business model is lying, who demands total obedience while swindling and eventually turning on all of his employees and followers after years of abuse. You elected a perfect cult leader. Our enemies are ecstatic. Our allies are horrified because of the suicidal Republican ideology of opposing any limits on gluttony and greed. What was once a beacon of hope all over the world, American democracy, is no longer a given. Your right-wing leaders and shouting heads, they're not going to stop clawing their way down a bottomless pit of excuses to continue profiting off of selling you a virtual alternate reality made up of false accusations and revenge fantasies, giving you a persecution complex they won't stop feeding no matter how many of you are driven right off the deep end. any citizen of the United States continuing to fall for it. Some of you thinking of taking up arms against the strongest military power on earth. Others making excuses for these terrorists. Because you share the same beliefs, you're delusional. You don't have a political party anymore. Come back to reality. January 6th, 2021, that was your come to Jesus moment. Armed insurgents threatened to hang the vice president, kill the speaker of the house. They dragged a cop down a flight of stairs and brutally beat another with an American flag. They killed police. A suicidal QAnon follower gave her life trying to break into the house chamber. For what? The most significant terror attack on our country since 9/11 happened because Republican radicals believe Democrats are Satan-worshipping pedophiles who stole their country, and they'd rather die than lose the protection of their leader. Defending truth and democracy and equality for all people against any tyranny, foreign and domestic, is the only thing that unites us and protects our freedoms. That's why Trump is being held accountable for his crimes, along with every congressperson, every official, every officer who conspired or continues to wage a mass deception campaign to overthrow American democracy, especially under the threat of violence. The First Amendment protects our right to express ourselves without fear of arrest. The right to free speech does not include threats of violence, and it certainly does not grant the authority to force media platforms to broadcast single-party hate propaganda that claim only its members are the real America. For the former Republican Party, who call themselves patriots, this is your wake-up call. Your nightmare of a brainwashed, radical, anti-American movement trying to destroy the country was you.
Yep. That's right. And it will continue. I don't believe that the Republican Party, you know, it's not hard to say. I mean, right now, Mitch McConnell, the way he has talked just the last couple of days, seems like he may vote for impeachment when they take it up in the Senate. And, of course, I hope they impeach Donald Trump. I hope the trial. They've impeached him already through the House. So he's two-time impeached, but through the House, and that will affirm it because they had a trial and of course, his crimes. And there are crimes, you know. Even if you just go by what he did on January 6th, the things he said and how he behaved. But just to me, though, you got to look at the totality. All the things that happened prior, how he has been as a person. He is one evil man, a narcissistic fool, and leading all the way up how he campaigned in 2015 and 17. And then when he won 2015 and 16, and then he won, of course, the election and how he behaved there, the things that he did and said. And of course, the pandemic. 400,000 people in this country, and unfortunately, a lot of them American African, are dead because he wanted to downplay. He kept telling us, oh, it'll be gone by the summer. It'll just disappear. And now America, who holds itself up as the great, you know, a medical, there's nothing better in the world than America. It's education, it's medical, it's whatever. It's nothing better than America. It's the worst. Let me take this call right here. 646-646. Good morning.
Yeah, what's happening, Oshie? I figured you need a co-host in this day of morning madness bullshit. You know what I mean? I figured you need somebody to assist you in how can we get at the new place of can we all just get along?
Can we all just get along? The That's immortal words of Rodney King.
Yeah, I mean, Rodney would feel good today with the observing of this sugar honey iced tea
yeah.
that's going on at this time. Because that's all it is. It's nothing but
It's pop and circumstance, man. You know, it's pop and circumstance.
I mean, it's beyond pop and circumstance. Yeah. Don't have me, and let me be very clear of this. Don't have me look up to some woman that got to where she is based on her black talent. And don't have me look up to no woman that got her a small hat on her arm. Don't have me look up to no woman that don't even have the decency to have her daddy, who's the real descendant of African people there with her. So save it for somebody else. Don't do it for me. It's of no real value to me. You know what I mean? Well, to me, she is who she is.
Right.
And she's not other than trash.
And understand, Jay, then you may have that feeling, but understand, it is all in America about symbolism without substance. It's the appearance of things, not the reality of things. Of course, the appearance is constantly promoted to make it feel like that is the reality. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the whole
thing. It is what it is, as they say, brother. That's all. It's no, you know, me and your life is not going to get better because of this devil.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
He's not going to do anything to uplift African people and to not cause conflict.
Listen,
over
Jay,
where we love and Jay, where we want to be. I mean, let's be clear about this in regards to my boy Fredo Trump, who will go off into greener pastures, maybe.
who should go off into 6 feet under.
To our development as a people. He didn't do anything to continuously and abruptly destabilize.
No, I disagree, Jay. I disagree.
Okay.
You know,
I think
that Donald Trump and his policies, his mindset, exacerbated the problems that happen on the continent and with African people, period. Now, I'm going to talk about after the break is over, a few other things that, you know, I'm going to talk about some pardons that he had. I'm going to talk about a few other things, you know, because this is going to be the last time I really talk about his ass. Okay.
Good. You know. I'm just happy that he gave my brother Kwame Kilpatrick a pardon.
I don't care
about none of the others.
I am
That's
too.
That's the only one I care about because of the simple fact the man is too damn talented.
I agree.
To spend another 17 years in jail for things that white folks do all the effing time. So thank Donald Trump for that. He did do something good as far as I'm concerned. And you can just put me on hold, and if you need co-hosting talent after the break, just click me over, and I'm here to assist in.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
You're gonna need it with this bullshit today.
All right, dear brother.
Hotep.
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock's The Traitor. And apropos title for today, for the traitor who many believe have betrayed this country and did what it did and tried to overthrow the traitor. He's gone. And that's why I'm adamant about impeachment. And I'll explain that. When I'm finished talking about the lineup that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times they're going to give are Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Then it's followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. On Friday at 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. Then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, I'm definitely down with impeachment. And to me, I think that there's some Republicans. I don't know if they'll get the number, but I know they should be. They should be in the Senate. In fact, every one of them should say, hell no. You ain't getting no damn money. You ain't getting that $1 million. You can't run for office ever again with this behavior. But yet you have Lindsey Graham. I seen that piece where he said something to Biden in coming in, that some word that he used, I can't remember, but basically saying, if you do this, you're rotten. If you choose to once again impeach Donald Trump, and you go with Trump, excuse me, you go with impeachment for Trump, you know, because we want to heal the country. Ain't nothing going to heal this damn place. And that Shona ain't going to do it if you don't impeach. Fact, impeach his ass. He doesn't deserve the $250,000 a year. He doesn't deserve the $1 million for travel and other things that he would get as a president. He doesn't deserve those things. He doesn't deserve the right to run. He doesn't deserve a damn thing. Impeach him. Make it stick this time. Because as far as he was concerned, he didn't get impeached the first time. Because the Senate didn't approve. Because the Senate went hard along party lines. If you really want to heal this country, and of course you can't, then that's what you should do. But of course you won't. Donald Trump granted clemency to former aide Steve Bannon. Of course, he fired Steve Bannon. They only been in a year, but Steve Bannon with Breitbart was the architect for a lot of the stuff that Trump did, you know. As part of a wave of pardons and commuting sentences issued in his final hours of office, but did not pardon himself or family, other members, or even lawyer Judy Giuliani said, I don't want no pardon. I ain't done anything wrong. You know, you've a pardon basically because you've done something wrong and you're going to be excused for it. Trump leaves office on Wednesday with Joe Biden sworn in as the nation's next president. White House officials have argued to Trump that he should not pardon himself or his family because it might look like they are guilty. It might look like they are guilty of crimes. Of course, they are.
according to a familiar situation. Bannon, who was a key advisor in Trump's 2016 presidential run, was charged last year with swindling the president's own supporters over an effort to raise private funds to build the president's border wall. He has pleaded not guilty, but of course he's guilty. Bannon has been an important, he is ugly too, ain't he? Man, that cat looked like he came out of the damn gutter. Man, Bannon has been an important leader in the conservative movement and is known for his political acumen. Yeah. You know, White House officials have advised Trump against pardoning Bannon. The two men have lately rekindled their relationship as Trump sought support for his unproven claims of voter fraud, an official familiar with the situation. As part of 140 pardons and commutations, 140. I really like to see the total list. They also pardoned Elliot Brody, a former top fundraiser for Trump, who pleaded guilty last year to violating foreign lobbying laws, and former mayor of Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick, who was serving 28 years for corruption charges. He was serving 28. Barack should have did that. You know, a lot of times this shit happens. I just get mad at that dude. But I shouldn't. You know why? You got to know what you're dealing with. You should have known. You know? You should have known that he had sold his soul to the devil in his behavior. You know, I said back in 2008, if and on the radio, I was on a part of this program back in Milwaukee, the Man Show. I said, if electing Barack Hussein Obama, this is almost verbatim. If electing Barack Hussein Obama, there is a difference in the lives of American African people. It is less mass incarceration, better education, better health situation, better jobs. And so if electing him, and not monumentally, not huge, but incremental, in a small measure, if these, when you look after Barack Obama had been elected and you can see there's a slight better situation for us as a people, then yes, Barack Hussein Obama was the man that we should have elected. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Now, looking at the history, you can see that it wasn't. One of the things many people have said, well, what did he do specifically? Not the the healthcare program was supposed to benefit all. Not this or that. He did some specific things for homosexuals. He did some specific things for European Jews. He did some specific things for Latinos, Hispanics, or whatever. But what did he do specifically for us? And if you know out there, then help me. Give me a call. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, what did he do specifically for us? Jay, my co-host today.
Big role feel good because I
sure did. You know what, Jay? You are right. Jay, you are right. He did. He made us feel good. He really did.
You know, like Halle Berry told the guy in the movie, make me feel good. But no, I don't know what he did. I don't know.
Is that what Halle Berry said in Monsters Ball?
Yeah, she said, make me feel good.
Okay.
You know, then that's what she told
Billy Bob.
Make me feel good.
That's what she told Billy Bob.
And the bottom line is, we unfortunately, as a people, that's how we operate when we deal with these sycophants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, the sad nature is that we as a people are looking for someone to give us some sort of gratification that just isn't there. I mean, you should see the orgasmic behavior of certain Negroes today in regards to what's going on. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's pure sexual deviancy when you look at it and you think about it.
The
manner in which these characters are acted.
Even more so than when Barack was elected and reelected?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I can understand that because of your boy, Fredo. So I can understand that. And because he's gone, and just the idea that this man is in, and he has an American, African, an Indian, whatever, a running mate, female running mate, that's elation right there.
She don't even have the decency to have a daddy there. So why the hell should a black person care anything effing about her?
She's an AKA. She's an AKA. She went to Howard.
Them Negroes, if they was really about something, the Divine Nine, as they call them, do you think we as a people should be in the condition that we in when 90% of them Negroes are college educated and that nature? I mean, come on. The Divine Nine is the biggest joke in regard of classism as it come, because they ain't came together and collectively
But the idea, Jay, is that individually we can aspire, we can be included, we can develop inclusion. That's what the whole idea was. It wasn't you got to understand, and I know you know, there is no desire for African collectivism in this country, in the United States of America. That is one of the best, that is one of the greatest fears, African unity in this country. Okay? So if I can just keep you going after the prize, keep you going after trying to reach the gold ring around the damn merry-go-round, I got you.
Oh, the cracker.
That's right.
The merry-go-round of the cracker. Why should in my life I want to have with a no-good, filthy ball of syphilitic pus have? Why should he be, as one say, the daddy in anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the dog of the planet. Why would you ever want to be like the dog of the planet?
Well,
I mean,
that's because you got to know the history, as opposed to looking at his story. You got to know the history of him and his and what he has done. But check it out. I'm going to finish up with this piece here and go to another piece. Kwame Kilpatrick, of course, was serving a 28-year term for corruption. And, of course, he got a pardon. He pardoned Jack Johnson, you know.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
he
he pardoned Jack Johnson.
He did some decency then.
Yeah. Trump pardoned Jack Johnson. Like I said, these are the things that piss me off about Barack Hussein Obama. Barack should have pardoned Marcus Garvey. I definitely don't expect a Trump to pardon Marcus Garvey. I don't even know who Marcus Garvey is. Like the hell he didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably doing great work. He's just doing great things out there, you know. He pardoned Lil Wayne and Kodak Black. I don't know who Kodak Black is. I know
he's a degenerate rapper who that one was a waste of pardon.
Lil Wayne or Kodak Black or both of them? Little Wayne,
they're both degenerate, no life psychopaths, and I'm gonna call it for what it is.
Well,
they have done nothing but spew hatred, ignorance.
Well, they said I don't know about Kodak Black, but I know that Little Wayne.
Tell you who he is. He's a degenerate, low life rapper who is of absolutely no human value. Unfortunately,
there is nothing redeeming about him, huh? There's nothing redeeming about it. There's nothing redeeming about it.
Nothing redeeming about that Negro. No, brother. Not at all. Not at all. He's twisted. He's twisted.
Okay. Well, Lil Wayne and him, they had a federal weapons charges against them. Federal weapons charges against them, and of course he pardoned for that. Giuliani.
Yeah.
Okay. Who of course was unsuccessful in his efforts to overturn the election. You know. Has not been charged with a crime, but investigators have been probing his activities in the Ukraine and some other things. Because understand, when he pardons somebody, he's only pardoning you for federal crimes, for federal right. crimes. Okay. Trump was impeached by the Democratic-led House last week on charges of inciting the riot or the insurrection at the Capitol. He may face a sentencing trial and will be barred from running for president again if convicted. It's prominent allies. The pardon power, which comes from the U.S. Constitution, is one of the broadest available to the president. While pardons are typically given to people who have been persecuted, pardons can cover conduct that has not yet resulted in legal proceedings. So there it is, based upon this article.
Now, Oshi, you know it's going to be twisted, and you know it's going to show the white man for who and what he really is. New York State is now going right. to go after, going to now go after Trump
right.
on state charges, and it's going to be real interesting because it may bring some skeletons out of a lot of closets. Because believe me, if they go after Trump, he gonna play dirty. He not
right.
He
oh,
believe me, he believe done me, got enough
right.
secrets
you're right.
on enough people, and he got the folder. That if he has to use it, he's gonna use it. That's why I really believe they may impeach him, because they don't want him to have access to certain information that, because he's in such financial danger, he may sell it. You never know it. He may go down in history as the first publicly announced treasonous president because of some of the evil that bastard may do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That he may do.
He's a devil.
Yeah, he is. That he may do. Of course he is.
Listen, Jay.
This morning, you hear the pundits. Once again, I told you earlier, if you didn't hear, I watch CBS Morning News. I've been watching that for a few years now. But anyway, they were talking. They had at least about six people on the panel. Man, I can't stand Gayle King. She's a damn apologetic, man. She makes me sick sometimes. Oh, I'm just so heartbroken. It's just, stop it. Anyway, they were talking about, you know, the prepared statement that he had. He did mention in a prepared statement Biden's name, a Harris name, and so forth. He this and that. And it kept going on about the peaceful transfer of power that is displayed here in America has a way of transferring, you know, the power and so forth from one people, one party or individual to another and so forth, has a light of democratic possibilities for the world and so forth. Bull. Okay. And so, you know, they were hoping that he would say something and say something positive. But even in his last address, has he got into the helicopter when he walked out the White House, him and his lady got into the helicopter, went to the airfield where they were going to have his last speech. And I think there was like a 1,000 people or whatever, 100 people. I don't know. Don't give a damn. And so he was going to give his last speech. And then once again, it's the same thing. He's off the cuff. It's not prepared. He's just rambling on, you know, the same thing about what he did, you know, praising himself. And so then he walked off and got in the airport, got on the plane and gone to Florida. And people are like, damn, again, he had an opportunity. Don't even think about it. And you are right, Jay, because if the heat is on, he's definitely not going down. He ain't going down by himself. Not the kind of man that he is, you know?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. That cracker, let me tell you something. That cracker there, I guarantee it, got more dossiers and information on those that he gonna put the screws to if he has to than anyone ever has.
More than likely.
That cracker not gonna play nice.
Yeah.
That cracker gonna get ready and raise some havoc. There's gonna be consequences
and repercussions
for what was done to that devil there, man. Don't get it twisted with a devil like him. It's gonna be some payback. I mean, think about this, O. Just look at his behavior. Look at his behavior and the manner in which he acted during this whole process since November 3rd and how he's responded. You know, come on, man. He's not.
Well, you know what, Jay?
Just imagine.
Jay,
think about the fact. Just one thing, O. Just think about the fact. Did they ever see this bastard's taxes?
No. No.
What'd that tell you?
No. The other thing, and to me, they should put a rule in, a law in, that anybody who runs for president has to show 3 years of his taxes. Mandatory. But anyway, I'll talk about that another time. But anyway, the power. Oh, I was going to say something, Jay, when you mentioned something, I forgot. But I'm going to put this back with the pardon power, which comes from the U.S. Constitution as one of the broadest available to the president. While pardons are typically given to people who have been persecuted or prosecuted, pardons can cover conduct that has not yet resulted in legal proceedings. A pardon is not reviewable. The pardon is not reviewable by other branches of government, and the president does not have to give reason for issuing one. But the pardon power is not absolute. It only applies to federal crimes. Bannon is the latest prominent political ally to receive clemency from Trump, who has often used the powers of the executive branch to renew loyalists, to reward loyalists and punish his enemies. Trump's previously pardoned former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn for lying to FBI about his conversations with former Russian ambassador, and he commuted the prison term of Roger Stone, who was convicted of lying to Congress during his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Manafort, his name is in, but I think he's pardoned Manafort too. Paul Manafort. 140 people. The former executive chair of the co-founder of the right-wing news outlet Breitbart, Bannon, is credited as being the architect behind the rise of America First right-wing populism. He was a key influencer behind some of Trump's staunch anti-immigration policies in the early days of Trump's presidency, as well as a broader, as well as the border wall that was one of Trump's key campaign promises. He was fired from his post in 2017, in August of 2017, Bannon can still be charged with fraud by the New York State prosecutors, said Donald R. Alonzo, a former prosecutor now at the Buckley Law Firm. Fraud prosecutions are frequently brought by the Manhattan District Attorney. Brody, who was a top fundraiser for Trump in 2016 campaign, pleaded guilty in October to violating lobbying laws by attempting to influence the administration on behalf of Chinese and Malaysian interests. Of course, Lil Wayne, whose name is Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., pleaded guilty in federal court in December for illegally possessing a firearm and faces up to 10 years in prison. He has expressed support for Donald Trump's criminal justice reform efforts. And that's about it on that tip.
Hey, listen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, my financial situation since this cracker been in office has improved.
Okay.
As far as everything else, it is what it is, man.
Right.
I mean, you know, he didn't, as far as I'm concerned, do much damage over in Africa on the manner in which the great beloved Negro Barack Obama did in regards to how he just destroyed Gaddafi and what Gaddafi was trying to do. I mean, the testimony of the white man in America is all you have to do is look at Libya and you see it for what it is. That right there should be the testimony of America imperialism at its best, because that country and the people have never recovered.
And they will never recover.
Never will.
No.
And I mean, that country right there was probably one of the best.
Yes. It was a model.
If you want to be honest.
No, it was,
I mean,
Jay,
the way the people were treated.
Yeah.
Hey, I would love that here.
Yeah, it was a model. It was a model of what a country can do when it has resources and abundant wealth. You know, and of course, there's other Arab countries that have done that because they're so rich that they have to import help, like Abu Dhabi, like, Dubai, United Emirates, not United Arab Emirates, they have to bring people, usually people from the Philippines, not so much African. I don't want dark-skinned people. They want, and so they have to bring them in to do the work because they're so damn rich, they ain't going to work. All they do is got money, and of course, they lavish themselves with riches. You know. But the bottom line is, what Barack Hussein Obama, and he said, this is what he said, that was one of his biggest regrets, you know, but it was something that in Western society had to be done because.
What you call it, manipulated him into doing that?
No,
that
let me.
That piece of shit, Clinton, his wife, Hillary,
yeah.
She manipulated him into doing that.
I don't think that they really did. I think, I look at it this way, the pressure from Western society, because what Muammar Gaddafi was going to do was to use the gold coin, the gold dinar, as a currency for Africa. And thereby the petrodollar would be none of what you're going to have to get the gold dinar to buy this crude oil from Libya and maybe then again from Nigeria and anywhere else. And so the resources would be under the control of African people, you know, and that's something that the West. Did you listen to the program when I played that Caucasian? I think his name is Nicholas, Howard Nicholas, who's addressing like a group of people. He has behind him a board with a PowerPoint talking about why Africa must be kept poor, why we must make sure.
I think
sure.
I did.
Yeah, and so that is the substantiation upon why the policies and initiations, not just in America, but the Western world and Europe and whoever else, they must do this. They cannot allow Africa. That's why I'm so adamant, Jay, about Africa uniting. Because they know that once Africa unites, it's over for their ass. It's over for the manipulation. It's over for to get things the way they want it. It's over. But we have to break the chains that they have on our minds or release the vice grip that they have on our minds. And that's what it is.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, you know, when you get to the level that we think about and what we think of, this shit right here don't really mean nothing to us.
This sugar,
I mean,
honey, iced tea?
To me.
This sugar.
You know, I don't care about it. I just would like for our people to wake up to the point and show the same amount of veracity and love and commitment that they do here for home. Because the reality, like I've said many, many, many times on your show, if we collectively came together and went someplace back home and built up there into the utopia that we so clearly vision here in America, we would probably get assistance from the government and everything. And we could really live amongst ourselves as African tribes in peace and harmony.
Yes.
Because the reality is, what we do here, we can still do there.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it ain't happening. Let me give you some numbers of some of the things of this past Trump presidency. You know, Trump was in office, of course, for 4 years. 1,461 days, 35,069 hours, 26,200, and the number of tweets and retweets, 26,237, him tweeting. An average number of tweets per day, 18. 165 number of tweets that mentioned crooked Hillary. 199 tweets that mentioned Sleepy Joe Biden. You know, 600,000. The estimated size of the crowd in attendance to Trump's inauguration, which was roughly a third of what Barack Obama drew for his inauguration in 2009, which was obvious in Trump, of course. And even Sean Spicer, he said, "This was the largest crowd to ever inauguration, period."
Imagine having that drug taken away from you, his tweets. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that being taken away from
you.
Oh,
man.
in the manner in which he's been taken away from him, and to now be in a situation to where as he can't do what he do, really interact with his people on the level that he's supposedly accustomed to. That's crazy, man.
That's a good
that
punishment.
That just goes to show you the power when you don't control your thing to be able to have somebody else just basically come in and shut you down and tell you shut the F up.
Yeah.
And it ain't nothing, even as the president, can
do.
You can do about it.
Because they're private entities. They're private entities, you know, and so you can't claim, you know, your freedom of speech and so forth. They have every right. If they don't want you to be on that platform or you to say anything on that platform, every right to, you know, to get you. 45, that's Trump's approval rating when he took office in 2017. 34 is Trump's approval rating when he's leaving, the lowest of any U.S. president leaving office, 34% approval rating. $19.9 trillion was the debt when he took over January 20, 2017. $28 trillion is the debt about leaving office. You know, the deal is Republicans have always brought up big deficits. It's what they have done. Look at, I mean, you know, one could argue about what Barack Obama inherited from George Bush the Younger, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, got some background noise, Jay.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
I was looking at the sycophants blasting and cooning and shuffling and jiving and just feeling so good about, you know, Biden now being the new daddy, man.
Yeah, of course.
You know, your boy Roly Poly is happy as hell.
Roland Martin?
Oh, Roly is nothing, man. I mean, I gotta give my boy his top, man. He dancing like no other, baby.
Okay.
Woo.
You know, last few times I saw Roland Martin, he's been having on African attire. Did he have on African attire?
In honor of the new Miss Mammy, he got on
a tuxedo.
He gotta make her feel good.
Now,
listen, as far as the African God and all of that, man, that don't mean nothing.
It don't mean a damn thing. Let me say this. None of that means anything. Name change, African attire, African memorabilia in your home, the layout of the stack, none of those things mean. It is, those things are symbolism without substance. What's the real substance is your mindset, your attitude, your behavior, and more importantly, your actions as it relates to African people. That's what's important. Okay? 400,000, the number of coronavirus deaths as Trump leaves office. 400,000 people. And all the things that he said about the coronavirus and admitting to Bob Woodward that he knew, he had got the information that it was deadly. He knew it was deadly. He knew how it was transmitted. And yet he has said some of the most ridiculous things and done some of the ridiculous things to cause over 400,000. And it probably, before it's all over, I venture to say it may be 600,000-700,000 people who would have died. Because at the moment, the death rate is so staggering and so constant and so consistent. You know, they don't have a handle on this, as the saying goes. They have no handle. And in fact, now there's a shortage of vaccines, that there is no vaccine stockpile. There are people who need the two-shot vaccine, can't get it. And then of course, there's the other,
I don't think that's true, though. I think that the two-shot vacciners, they put their second shot aside. They couldn't do that. They can't give nobody a vaccination knowing that protocol is that they have to take a second shot and to not have that second shot available when it's due for them to take it, that's a hell of a lawsuit. Nah, so don't believe that bullshit.
Well, let me say this to you, Jay.
That's not something they will do.
Let me say this to you, Jay. I don't put anything past these people to do what they do. Okay, you. I mean, that's you. That's you.
That's
you. That's you. But we'll see. That's what we'll say. We'll see.
Here goes something that we can genuinely disagree on, because to do something like that, boy, that would be something that would cause some serious problems.
We'll see. Already they're talking about a lot of people who got the first vaccination will wait a little longer to get the section. So we'll see. So that's 400,000 people who have died because of Trump. One, the number of coronavirus deaths Trump said would be too many if one just died. But of course, 400,000, over 400,000 and approaching whatever number that might be in the next number of months, because they don't have a handle on this, and many people are still looking to be vaccinated. 168, the number of rallies in re-election and midterm and all these other, 168 rallies, because Trump felt that these, just like, of course, that was the same rally atmosphere that he had this morning, you know, when he got on the helicopter and was lowered to the point where Air Force One was behind him, and the whole thing was set up as just like a rally with all the flags and so forth. It always made him feel good. So he had all of these rallies where he would castigate and make mockery of individuals and situations, and of course, spew lies. Lies. 378, the number of days that Trump spent at the private owned of his golf courses.
How many days?
378 days of his presidency.
That's a year.
Of his presidency.
That's over a year.
Yeah. Golfing in New Jersey, Virginia, and South Florida. 378 days. 30,534, the number of false or misleading claims Trump made since assuming office, lying over 30,000 times. 30,534 lies. This was the
AOC.
Yeah.
That's what they call... That's what they call in the day a lying MFO.
That's for sure, man. Yeah, he's habitual, man. He's just ridiculous.
Oh, he's beyond habitual.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, that's why, to me, all these folks who had defended him, you know, vehemently, especially those congresspersons, man, I couldn't stand Goetz and Nunez and any. I just couldn't stand them. And Jones, especially during the impeachment trial, where people came and spoke who had information, who heard things, and people whose integrity was not in question, probably whose integrity was beyond reproach, maybe. I don't know, but it seemed that way. But how these people attacked them and besmirched them and ridiculed and demeaned them was ridiculous. And
crazy.
And some of those people, they need to, I mean, to me, the areas of that they come from, somebody should develop a challenge to them, you know, in the next upcoming election to get rid of their ass, because they don't deserve to be in Congress. They don't deserve to be in the Senate. But of course, that's how it operates.
Yeah, but they'll keep their jobs. I mean, what's the big deal? Let them have what they have. It's going to be interesting.
See, but see, Jay, hold on, Jay.
With the so-called
what's the big deal? You supported what happened. You continue to support a man who ultimately attacked the so-called center of the democracy, the election, and its symbol, the Capitol. You supported, and you vehemently supported.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Do you really give a rat F about them doing what they did 2 Wednesdays ago? I could give less than a flying F what they did. I get more mad at Negroes who think that what was done was tragic than anything. What place is it of you as an African to care about the overthrow or the attempted overthrow by stupid white folks in regards to this bull?
Jay.
I mean, come on, man. Be serious.
Jay, understand what I'm saying. I can and I don't give a rat's ass. You're right.
Okay.
I don't. What I'm stating is what happened. And what I'm stating is because of what happened, how they supported them, they should. Their electorate should. Whatever district they come from should. They should. I don't care. I don't give a damn. You know, just like, hey, Jay, just like they showed that one brother who, Negro, that one Negro who they showed and him hitting people with bats and so forth, you know, and I hope they give him a lot of time.
Yeah, they walked Kamala out today.
No,
he was one step in front of him.
No, he wouldn't be there. He's arrested. He was part of the melee.
I'm talking about the black guard.
The guard.
You know.
The one that led it. Okay, yeah, the one that led them away from the Senate hearings.
Was terrible.
Yeah.
You should have saw the shoes the Negro had on was embarrassed. It was an embarrassment, man. I mean, the shoes he had on with his suit and overcoat, that was an embarrassment, bro. Believe me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Negro, I guess, wanted to feel colored out of place, you know.
I don't know. But anyway, the number four. The number of national security advisors Trump have. You remember Trump said, I'm only going to get the best and the brightest. The number four again. The number of press secretaries he's had with their lying self. 11. The number of days Anthony Scaramucci served. The Mooch served as his communications director. Only 11 days. And he realized, oh, no, I got to talk about this fool like a dog. 3 million. Over 3 million jobs lost during the Trump administration. Now, granted, we know the pandemic had a lot to do with that. And we know that if the pandemic not had happened, that Trump would have been reelected. It would have been no way, had not the pandemic happened, that because, and understand this, he wants to say he came into office, everything was bare, there was nothing there. I did this on my own. They handed me just some. No. Barack Obama had already laid the groundwork for the economic recovery. Let's be real. That is a fact. But see, these things, facts don't mean anything to Donald Trump. With an ego like his, he wants to take credit for everything, you know? So, you know, 19,000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the stock market when he came in, and then, of course, 30,000, okay, on January 20th. The last day of Trump, 30,000. And of course, when stocks hit 30,000 a few weeks ago, back in December, he had a press conference. You know, he had already lost the election. He had a press conference. And it's in his demented mind, in his delusion, he felt that the stock market hitting 30,000 is because of him. Yes, it is. Not because, it's because you lost. It's because you a damn loser. That's why the stock market hit 30,000, because they're saying, oh, there's brighter days ahead, you know.
Well, put this in the context when you speak about this as far as the economy, the growth, and all of that. And we got to look at this. And at some point in time, somebody's going to have to examine this right here. What he did in regards to the soybean and China and the tariffs and things of that nature really shows that he really wasn't about growth in regards to the American people, because he never found new markets for soybean farmers.
Right, right.
To be able to sell their trade.
Right.
But the nature of capitalism and the 1% and the 1%. What happened was they were able to basically move forward in regards to making those more richer and more whole.
Right.
In a sense, the
1% throughout this whole situation has consistently made millions. Some have made billions.
You know, in China wasn't totally affected by it on the level that one would think in regards to they went to other countries and did their thing.
Right, sure.
They replaced the soybeans that they wasn't getting to America. But
because China
America
looks at the world.
Replaced the purchasing of soybeans and nobody never talks about that. I mean, to be honest, to be really, really honest, Trump's economy was not what it cracked up to be.
No, it was a facade. It was a facade.
A true economist would tell you that.
Yeah. 234. The number of federal judges appointed by Trump. Because Mitch McConnell's ugly, two-shade turtle-looking ass. To Barack Obama, I will not entertain even give a hearing to any federal person you puts up for a judgeship. Zero. Throughout the last few years of his presidency. And then, of course, there was 10 months before the next election. And when he put up Merrick Garland for Supreme Court, he said, that's a waste of time. It ain't going to happen. And so because of that, when Trump came in and the Senate is in his favor, he had the opportunity to put up 234 plus 3 Supreme Court justices. And so now the courts will be what they are for decades.
Yep.
Decades.
And that's what the white man's supposed to do. Yeah. I don't see, I'm not one of those people that have any problem with it, none whatsoever. He did what a white man is supposed to do. He's supposed to protect his interests. Yeah. He's supposed to protect his interest. Don't let nobody fool you with anything otherwise. It's his job to protect whiteness, and I ain't mad at him.
I hear you.
I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm not mad at the cracker for filling all of those judge seats. Now, the thing is, what is Biden going to do about it? What is Biden going to do to try to make it, as one would say, a little more fairer?
We'll see.
The
only thing you can do is you will see, because once those appointments are made, it's not like an executive order to throw back and now go back into the Paris Accords to go back and deal with immigration. You can't do that. It's done. Okay, 74,222,593, the number of votes that Trump got. 81,281,502, the number of votes that Biden. Over 7 million more votes. I mean, what's the name? Clinton had over 3 million more. I thought that was a lot. 3 million more votes. He had 7 million more votes. 232, the number of electoral votes that Trump got. 306, the number of electoral votes that Biden got. 306 was also the number that Trump got in 2016, which he said was a landslide. 64, the number of lawsuits. The number of lawsuits that Trump and his legal team have lost in their attempt to overthrow the election. 64. Zero.
I thought it was 70-something.
Zero, the number of times Trump publicly acknowledged. No, I think they won one. Zero, the number of times Trump has publicly acknowledged Joe Biden's victory. Zero. And he didn't do it today. That's remaining consistent.
Hey, white man, did you expect anything other from that cracker? That cracker just behaved in the way that he accustomed to behaving. I ain't got no problem with it. I don't even know why people get mad.
No, you know why? Jay, you know why? You know why? Because there's a perception of courtesy. There's a perception of pomp and circumstance. There's a perception of you know, yeah, it happened, but now let's come together. It's kumbaya.
Yeah.
That's not Trump.
Mitch McConnell. That's that Mitch McConnell talk. I mean, how could anybody in their right mind, let's be clear, in their right mind ever agree to coming together with Mitch McConnell on anything?
On anything.
I mean, and that goes to show you the game that's being played on us. If you ever hear Chuck Schumer talking about dealing with Mitch McConnell on anything, you know the fix is in and the type of dog that he is. Because what they did with the last Supreme Court seat.
Oh, that was. Of course, that was bogus.
You should never let them get away with it. And you should never allow them to not have to pay the piper for it. Well, and if you do, then I know you're a sellout.
Well, the bottom line is this. We understand this is what America is about. Lies, deceit, undermining, backstabbing. That's what it is about.
There is.
And that's what it's about. That's why, to me, for us as African people, we must get out. There is no hope for us in this madness. There is. That's why I read the Inye Sesem to our people every morning this program comes on. Because Baba Baruti is saying to us, we must be warriors. We must be cognizant. We must be aware of the whole madness that we are in. This is insane. This is insane. And to be part of this insanity makes us insane. And so, therefore, we got to get out. Brother Jay, thanks a lot, man, for hanging with me on this inauguration day.
It's an honor. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with my brother Oshie, especially on this day where the Negro is so elated and happy and buck dancing and crying and smiling and doing all of the things that would upset us as slaves. Have a good day, my brother.
You too.
Peace and love.
All right. Peace, Jay. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Enjoy this day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivihodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Renoka Rashidi will be my guest. I look forward to that, and hopefully look forward to you being here. All right. Peace, family.